On Friday, I had the privilege and pleasure of having lunch with a much-loved mentor, a pastor emeritus of this church, Dr. George Baxter. And after a lot of laughter and some tears, I mentioned that I was preaching this Sunday. And immediately said, 15 minutes, John. 15 minutes. I said, well, it's a little more than 15 minutes. He said, well, 15 minutes, a little bit more if there's a confession. I said, there's a confession. He said, okay, that's okay. That's okay. And they say that confession is good for the soul. So I have a confession to make. I've been known to be disagreeable. And many of you do not look shocked. Some of you may even be nodding your heads. Or possibly some of you are even saying under your breath, finally he's preaching some truth. Well, I could enter a state of self-denial and merely refuse to this confession as an alternative fact. However, there is one phrase that I think we would all agree that we've heard before. Let's agree to disagree. During the past while, as I was working on the sermon, I thought I had come to the conclusion. I realized I had done a Bible study that was too long for a sermon. But what stood out was what was in this passage of Scripture dealing with communication and the example that Jesus set. There are a lot of theological lessons in this passage, but there are some very important life lessons. So I thought, well, I will try to weave the two together. But it reminded me of the story of a pastor who had been going on for a bit. And all of a sudden he saw coming down the aisle one of the ushers. And William came up and he handed a note to the preacher. And he opened it up and it said, "When you're finished, turn off the lights." Well, hopefully I won't have to do that. But it is longer than 15 minutes. I'm sure that many of you are familiar with that phrase, let's agree to disagree. You probably know some people who you would consider to be very gifted communicators. Somehow they're able to express an opinion, even if it's not in agreement with yours, but you never feel like you've been attacked. Their response is polite, respectful. One might say they have the gift of being very Canadian, too polite. They were not disagreeable. Some people can disagree with you and you don't feel like you've been attacked. In the Gospel of John, chapter 8, 46 to 59, is a prime example of how Jesus talked the talk and walked the walk. How he revealed his personality to the disciples as to how to disagree with the Jewish people without antagonizing or turning them off. We see in the final few verses of this passage, it reverberates with Jesus declaring his claim to be eternal deity. In fact, all throughout the Gospel of John, each chapter deals with eternal deity. And this was not Jesus' first emphatic claim. The Word of God, I am the living water. I am the bread of life. I am the light of life. Really, Jesus is saying that he came from the Father and therefore not only reveals his truth, but he is the truth. But in this passage of Scripture, unfortunately, Jesus realizes there is an inability of his countrymen to see this truth, God's truth. And it gives them away. It betrays their separation from the Father and his purposes. They accuse Jesus of trying to take glory unto himself. But he would receive. But he declares Jesus had been given glory by the Father, but he would receive more for those who did know or listen to the Father. In this passage of Scripture, we see accusations flying in the conversation. The Jewish people are trying to provoke Jesus. They're trying to find guilt, trying to find sin, and they accuse Jesus of being demon-possessed. And instead of going on the offensive, Jesus almost ignores them. "I am not possessed by a demon, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. I tell you the truth. If anyone keeps my word, they will never see death." Now that was a very controversial statement. Was he referring to physical death, spiritual death? As polite and simple as this comment was from Jesus, it was like throwing a bucket of fuel on a smoldering fire. And the Jewish raised the ante and they said, "Well, now we know. Now we know that you are demon-possessed." Jesus had not wished to throw fuel on the fire. He had merely wanted to disagree in a way that was based on fact, reflected love. He had not chosen alternative facts. He had not diluted the truth. And here we have a life lesson in this passage, that it takes wisdom and patience to know how to neutralize a situation, to deflect without venturing into the realm of confrontation, of negativism, or being rude or abusive. I came across a few suggestions as to how Jesus dealt with this situation. One, Jesus tells us through this example, he stated the facts, the truth, in such a way as not to be perceived of as being on the attack to those who believed. Jesus also knew, and we should know as well, that there are always skeptics, always accusers, that will find something wrong, even if they have to invent the problem to get their way. And you see, the Pharisees were just itching for a fight, to cast the Lord in a false light so that they could remain in sin. And Jesus responded to this by speaking in truth and love. Two, we need to possess a gift or a skill. And Jesus possessed the gift of knowing how to respond to provocation. And it's important to each one of us to learn how to control our anger, our fear, our emotions. Many times we are too quick to try and maybe kick someone while they are down. And in James 1:19 says, "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, for a person's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires." When you know you're going into a situation, a provocation or confrontation, one needs to pray to God for the ability to listen before you speak, to put your brain in gear before your mouth. And what this will do is provide a positive environment and will nurture relationships. We need to take time to stop, to reflect, to collect our thoughts, and maybe even take a deep breath or step outside the room, and we'll be better able to handle the situation. Thirdly, sometimes I know that I have gone to a meeting and I would have what you would call selective sight and selective hearing. I would only see and I would only hear what I wanted to see and what I wanted to hear, and miss the whole point of a conversation. And I learned from one of our area ministers who was holding a meeting here. And he said, you can enter a meeting and you can come out of it and know you can be heard, but you weren't listened to. Or he said, you can come out of a meeting and know that you've been listened to and you know you have been heard. The Pharisees, selective sight and hearing. Jesus must have had ulterior motives. The Pharisees had misconceptions about Jesus. They'd already condemned him. No matter what he said, they would raise the ante and accuse him of something else. And another life lesson. We need to ask the Lord to give us a sense of serenity, to accept the fact that some people will think badly of us for no reason at all. Unfortunately, there are what we could call modern-day Pharisees that will not like the message that we teach or talk about. But we need to remind ourselves of WWJD. What would Jesus do? We need to accept them. Disagree, but not being rude, but being polite. For sometimes when you look at this passage of Scripture, you can see where the Jewish leaders came into this so-called conversation, this dialogue, with a selfish agenda, and they were blinded by truth. Many times people will come into a meeting and they're blinded by truth and they have a personal agenda. And it's most unwise to enter into that conversation and become angry or annoyed or irritated and overwhelmed with emotion to the point that the whole situation becomes out of control. We see how Jesus dealt with this situation. Unfortunately, present-day culture seems that whoever yells the loudest is the one that is heard, even if they are spitting out disregard for fact and for truth. We need to remember the passage of James being quick to listen and slow to anger. Fifthly, we need to know that we are dealing with a God of peace. We've been created in the image of God. And within Jesus and his conversation with the Pharisees, we see a reflection of the image of God, reflecting the peace of God. It's so much better to be gracious in expressing yourself, because you can influence thinking, you can influence emotions, you can influence behavior. What you want is to have people see within you the love of God. 6. Jesus is also a God of law and order. Jesus, the venom that was coming in direction, he just didn't take it. He spoke fact. He spoke truth. He did not allow the Pharisees and the Romans to get away with condemning him without properly showing them that they were living in sin. They were misinterpreting. They were bending their laws in a way that suited them so that they could have Jesus crucified. 7th, Jesus is a God of love. He's a God of truth and power. He did not back down from his accusers who were trying to portray him as something that he was not. Jesus knew his identity. Jesus knew who he was. He knew why he was on earth. We need to know. Whom we believe, and be secure in our relationship with Christ. I'm reminded of a song on a program that I used to sing with, a song called Let God Be at Home in Your Heart. And we need to make sure that God, let God be true, and all the rest of the world be found wanting. Wanting. I love old movies. Some of you know that to relieve my stress, tension, I go to a movie. I usually take a little notebook with me and I get some ideas for various programs here. I know that sounds strange, but that's an odd characteristic of mine. And I take in more movies when my wife is away, which she has been, so I've had quite a bit of fun going to those movies. But I love old medieval movies. Knights on horseback, dressed in armor, jousting, sword fights, hundreds of soldiers, lots of deafening noises, cries, sound of horses, metal hitting metal. You could almost say that in this confrontation between Jesus and the Pharisees, there were cries, there was loud noise. It was nasty, rude, impolite, sarcastic, very disagreeable. And it seemed with each exchange of words that intensity of the situation became more heated from one side. But here we see Jesus standing his ground, stating the truth like a sharp-edged sword, boldly calling for repentance. And he matched their venom in a straightforward, fearless truth fashion that was infuriating to the Pharisees. It was a life and death struggle. Jesus knew what loomed on the horizon, his crucifixion, at the hands of many of these same people. And the hatred increased. As the dialogue continued, as Jesus laid out of who he was, what he had come to do, and what his relation was to the Father. He set forth the central idea of his ministry. If a person keeps my word, that person will never see death. He was revealing to them what they needed to do now in order to live eternally. And although the Pharisees listened to Jesus, they did not hear his message. Before Abraham was, I am. I am. Jesus is love. And we should strive day by day to be more of a reflection of him. There are many life lessons to be learned from this passage of Scripture and many theological lessons as well. But to me, what stood out is the character of Jesus in the midst of a very negative situation. And he spoke softly. And he was slow to anger. I was listening to a commentator interviewing an all-star basketball player last week. And a phrase that they said, you know, you don't speak very often. And when you do, you speak quietly. And he said, I learned long time ago, let your loud be silent. And your silent, loud. Let your loud be silent. And your silent, loud. And we see that in the character of Jesus in this passage of Scripture. We need to learn ourselves how to be disagreeable, but in a positive way. We need to be able to listen and convey to the person that they have been heard. And how appropriate that we have an annual general meeting today. We will probably not all agree on some things, but I hope that we will listen and convey to those around that they have been heard, that their opinion is respected, that we are polite, and that all of us will listen for the voice of God, and we will be a reflection of him.